Okay, Almanac House.
In December 1940, I meet Lee Hayes, and we started singing together and were soon joined by his roommate, Millard Lampell, who later became a well-known screenwriter. And rather than me staying living with my older brothers, because they'd gone on and gotten other jobs, I decided I might move in with them, but they only had one room. So we decided to, we rented a cheap loft on 12th Street and 4th Avenue, what is now called the East Village. And it was on the third floor, and a friend of ours designed a nice kind of a shelf table. And we somehow scrounged around, got some cheap beds, three single beds, and there was a stove there, and we had a few pots. And so we lived like a little family of three men. Lee was a good cook. I can cook some. I'd been cooking for my brothers, but my repertoire was very limited as a cook. I could make baked macaroni and cheese and a few other things. After 6 months, Woody Guthrie walked in the door and joined us. I'd been writing him letters saying, Woody, we're singing for unions all over the place. Come on, join us. And so he deserted his wife for the umpteenth time, and she gave up on him. She went back to Texas and got a divorce. But then we left almost immediately for the West Coast. In about 3 weeks, we went off. Mill got us a big old Buick, and it used a huge amount of gas and oil. But we got to California. Lee's health was never very good, and he said, I really can't take all this traveling. And he went back to New York and stayed with a friend until we came, joined him. Later, a couple of weeks later, Millard Lampell decided, I've got some writing to do, and you can carry on. So Woody and I, calling ourselves the Almanac Singers, went up to Portland and Seattle, and then back through Minneapolis, and not much else. We stopped briefly to sing for the copper miners in Butte, Montana. And when we got back to New York, Pete Hawes, who had sung with us briefly the previous spring, and he thought of himself as one of the Almanacs, but he only sang with us very occasionally. But we were a loose group. We weren't particular about who joined us when or where. But Pete Hawes had gotten us three floors in a basement on West 10th Street, Greenwich Village. And we called it Almanac House again. The first loft we had on West 12th Street, on East 12th Street, we called Almanac House. We'd have a Sunday afternoon beer party and charge people 35 cents or something, and we'd have an afternoon of singing, a little rent party every once a week. Well, we did the same thing on West 10th Street. Now we use the word hootenanny, which Woody and I had picked up in Seattle. And we had some good hootenannies. It was right on the near the end of one. Near the middle of it, somebody announced the Japs have bombed Pearl Harbor. We're at war. And I didn't know, where's Pearl Harbor? What's Pearl Harbor? Oh, don't you know, it's a big naval base in Honolulu. By this time, things were getting crowded in that Almanac House because we'd taken in Alan Lomax's younger sister, Bess, who knew a lot of wonderful songs. You know, she lived the collecting work that her father and her older brother had done. Just thousands of wonderful old American folk songs and some new American folk songs. And then Sis Cunningham and her husband asked if they could join us. They were out of Oklahoma. So now we were six when we went out to sing somewhere. Then Lee didn't like all this. He said, "Pete, I can sing with you, but we got too many people." And he didn't say it out, though. He was just grumbling. And he was malingering. He says, "Oh, no, you go sing without me. I'm not feeling well." So the rest of them said, "Pete, you ought to ask Lee to leave. He's not happy." Well, instead of really sitting down and talking with Lee about it, I said, "Lee, the rest of us feel if you're not well, it's best you not try and be a regular member of the Almanacs." And it hurt Lee terribly because he and I had started the Almanacs, but he went back to stay with a friend. And then later on, Charlie Polachek joined the Almanacs. Oh, I'd say by January of 1942, we couldn't afford the $100 a month it cost us for three floors and a basement. We couldn't afford to buy coal for the furnace, and Woody, we was freezing. Woody made up a song, new words to an old blues. Sis Cunningham's husband was Gordon Friesen. "My name is Gordon Friesen, and I'm freezing all the time. I live here on West 10th Street, up above the timber line. Hey, pretty mama, I got them Arctic Circle blues. Hey, pretty mama, I can't raise no heat on you. I went into the toilet, I pulled the toilet chain. The polar bears and icebergs come a-sliding down the drain. Hey, pretty mama, got them Arctic Circle blues." Come on. Well, we found only two blocks away a loft that we could use on weekends for a party which would hold all of 150 people if we could want to squeeze them in. And right next to it, they had one big room and a tiny little kitchenette off it and a tiny little bedroom at the other end. And we figured that Woody and I and Bess could sleep on cots in the big room, and Sis and Gordon could have the tiny little bedroom. And Arthur Stern would stay living uptown. He'd just come down to sing with us. And
where was this place?
This was on between 9th and 10th Street on 6th Avenue, just a block and a half away from where we'd been. And this was now Almanac House in 42. Now, you say, was it a commune? In a sense, it was, because all the money we made went into one pot. And we took out of it the money that was needed for the rent first, and the money that was needed for food second. And if we had a real prosperous week, we could each pay us ourselves a dollar a day. Oh, I said, "I've got to send some money every month to my mother in Florida. My old mother's in her 60s or...
Yeah.
I guess.
Old 60. Why
no,
you
no, late 50s. Late 50s. And I sent her $10 a month. And Woody says, I should send some money to my wife and three kids in Oklahoma. Even though she's staying with her parents, she's got to feed herself. So Woody sent $10 a month to her. Maybe it was $15 a month. At any rate, that's how we lived. I guess you can call it a commune because we, the six of us, oh, Millard Lampel got an apartment all of his own. He'd nearby. He and his girlfriend. And pretty soon Woody went. Woody was courting Marjorie Mazier, the dancer who was with. So Woody pretty soon was now got a place of his own. So there's just four of us sleeping there. Bess in one corner of this big room, and me in another corner of the big room, and Sis and Gordon in another. But we still got together for supper every day. And, oh, by gosh, we even could have had a little extra money to pay for a good cook who shopped and cooked. And one day, walking down the street, 8th Street, I meet Charles Olson, the poet. I'd met him when I was at Harvard. I was cooking for a man. I didn't keep the job very long. I wasn't that good a cook. But he was invited to supper. And I horned into the conversation. Charles Olson and several others had a fine conversation going, and I started joining in the conversation. I was fired.
So was that the last
time? But anyway, I see Charles Olson. He says, "What are you doing now?" I said, "I live around the corner. Why don't you come up and have supper with us?" And he met Woody, and that's how Woody's first book got out, because Olson was putting out a magazine called Common Ground. Lovely phrase. It keeps coming up in American life when people try and do something together. We call it Common Ground. We have Common Ground philosophically. We have Common Ground. We're living near each other. And so Woody wrote an article. He said, "Woody, would you write an article for our magazine? Write it on folk music. What's folk music all about?" Woody's article was called Ear Music. And the first sentence was, he says, "I don't mean you pluck the guitar with your ear. I mean, you don't look at a page of paper when you learn a song." And it was a wonderful, it was a description of folk music by one of the folks.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Woody was more than just one of the folks. He was very much an intellectual. But he was determined to stay a small town person. My father thought he was phony because he didn't shave regular and spoke ungrammatical English. Father says, "You know, he can speak perfectly good English. Why doesn't he speak it?" His father was a politician and owned in real estate, but Woody wanted to speak the language everybody else spoke, the working people spoke. And he was very particular. "So long as it's been good to know you," he spelled it Y-U-H. He says, "If you're going to publish this song, that's the way you spell this title. So it's been good to know ya. Y-U-H, not Y-A, not Y-O-U."
Okay.
Anyway, so that's the nearest thing we were to a commune.
So the one on 6th Avenue, was that the last one that was called Almanac?
Yeah. Well, I went into the Army in July, and Almanac went out to Detroit and tried to sing for the auto workers. But there was a terrible race riot, and the white auto workers were among the worst racist. They were discouraged.